from difficult situations, and she works in Rwanda in the WEAC project, and she's going to share information on one of our programs there.
Okay, so it's still morning. Good morning. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is a project that we have that is about girls who have children while still living at home. And so sort of the word that is used in local language is ikiandaro, and it's not a positive term, it's a derogatory term. So it's an issue for young women that have early pregnancies. And how this project came about is because of the type of organization that WEAC is. In Rwanda, it's very much a grassroots. Things come up from the bottom, and problems are discovered. And of course, this is a slide that everyone's including. None of the authors have any financial relationships to disclose. But in thinking about how do programs start in organizations, WEAC has a history of really listening to the client base and to our counselors. So at the suggestion of one of our counselors, Henriette, she was doing youth groups, and she identified a subset of young women who were struggling with the issues of being single mothers and still being adolescents. And that stigma is a huge problem for them, as well as the conditions of poverty they live in. And this whole concept of the community looking on them as these young women who had children while still living at home. And she was identifying symptoms of depression, that they were more isolated and less integrated into the youth groups. They had expressed a sense of hopelessness about their future. And of course, they were living in poverty and really struggling with caring for their children. And so, you know, she said, this is the question. Every time we go to Rwanda, the counselors sort of pose this, what can we do to be more helpful about this problem? We've always listened to them. And what they did is started a mother's group. We got a small amount of money from a supporter and came up with the idea in consultation with the staff and also with volunteers and us. How could we really be more helpful? That meeting in a support group, talking about the issues, didn't change the issues, right? It was supportive, but it didn't change anything for them. So we decided to shift from it being a straight support group to it being more of a skill-building group with themes that were laid out, and that it would be partially support. We wouldn't eliminate that, but then we would also infuse it with a workshop learning format. Because of responsibilities in the clinic, we also had to transition. Even though Henriette had started this young mother's group, she couldn't see it through to this new format, so one of our other counselors took it over, Leticia. And using the grant money and developing this plan, we provide the young mothers with transportation to and from. We provide a meal before they go home, so nutrition. And then also the grant allows for occasional field trips or off-site meetings to really promote learning. Because you can know in a clinic setting, there's can be lots of distractions and interruptions. So let's look at who the young mothers are that began to participate in this new format for their group. We identified 20 HIV-positive young women who were single mothers. They had been participating in the groups, and the age of range is 18 to 31, with the average age being around 24. Six of the women knew they were infected perinatally. Six were infected as a result of rape, and also their children were the result of the rape. And six reported unprotected sexual activity, and two weren't sure. So 18 of the moms are on ARVs and 2 are on Bactrim only. The age that they gave birth ranged from 14 to 30, but the average age was like 18. I think the other thing to keep in mind is that in many African countries, and in particular our experience in Rwanda, especially post-genocide, there is an, people talk about the U.S. having an extended adolescence. It's even greater in Rwanda, where youth are living at home longer. They're perceived as having developmental needs similar to adolescents, the same kinds of supports for a longer age. So you'll see that in youth groups, you have this broad range that will go into the late 20s. And psychologically, if you interact with these, what I would say young adults, they're very adolescent. And if you think of that developmentally and psychologically, someone who may be 28 was 8 at the time of at the genocide. So that extreme trauma can also impact their emotional development, and then all the stresses post-genocide, that they're really playing catch up on their emotional development. So that's why there's this broad range and that it's accepted in the context of these youth groups. Of the 20 women, 6 of them have one child. 4 of them have 2 children, and 1 of them has a set of twins of the ones who have 2 children. And the ages of the children range from 2 months old to 13 years old. So what we did to learn more about the young mothers and their needs and what kind of help we should do in terms of structuring the group. Structured interviews were completed with the 17 of the 20 mothers. 14 of them reported that their children live with them and are their primary responsibility. And 3 reported that the children live with members of the father family or with extended family. We wanted to understand their educational levels, and again, think of this as this is in the context of a post-genocidal society. 12 of the young women self-identified as illiterate, having little to no reading and writing skills. And you can just see here in this little demonstration or graph bar that no school. 7 of the 17 women had no school at all. And then you can just see it's just a smattering. And most of the young women that completed 4th grade or less were the ones that said that they were illiterate. And you can see that it's very few of them are making it through secondary school. Some of that is in the result of poverty and school fees and having to pay what is required, even though in Rwanda the government policy is that primary education is free. There's a lot of hidden fees, like uniform, school supplies. There's also a supplemental fee for teachers, which parents have to pay. So that impacts the family or the youth's ability to pay for their education or their child's education when they become school-aged. There is also vocational training that takes place, and you can see that 4 of our young women's group accessed vocational training. But you can see that 3 of them had sewing and tailoring, but earning a living doing this is very difficult. So as part of the vocational training, the 3 that had the sewing and tailoring skills, at graduation, they got a sewing machine, right? But if you're going to be a vendor in a market setting, you have to have money to pay a fee to set up your sewing machine. So none of them can do that, right? So then where they end up doing is setting it up outside the house where they live, which really limits their access to business. So it hasn't been very successful for our youth. So in thinking about how can we improve their life skills and also improve their problem-solving behaviors, and increase self-esteem and promote social cohesion because of the sense of isolation they were expressing, and to empower them to be more successful, we decided to do this workshop approach. So what happened was, in week one of the initial workshops, a self-assessment of skills was conducted by the counselors. And then in week two and three, they started talking about how do you make decisions? How do you solve your problems? And it was very much a discussion among the group members rather than something that was imposed by the counselors. It was really in vivo problem solving rather than this is how you solve your problem, step A, B, and C. It was a discussion group. Then in the fourth week, they talked about negotiation and refusal skills. How do you say no? And then how do you manage your emotions so that you can be healthier and less stressed, and how stress impacts your ability to make decisions. So that was an off-site. It was a culmination of this first formatting, and it was off-site and very successful. It was very much related to having social time together, but also practicing stress management techniques that they were taught. Other topics that have been completed since February has been family planning, parenting skills. At some point, we brought in a woman who is skilled in microfinancing and building your own business. So she's done workshops on saving money, creating a plan, and how do you make a budget. One of the things they've done in the group also, let me see if it's in the next. Yeah, in this next slide, that they have made a collaborative saving and loan program, which the group runs. So they, this is more about the structure. Let me move to this. So what they've done is they've created a communal account at a local bank, and the group has elected a president, a vice president, a secretary and treasurer who manage the account. And then at every group meeting, for the transportation money, the women receive 1,000 Rwandan francs, which is like $1.50 approximately. And the members contribute part of that into this account. And then they have this system where they can take loans out, and the requests are put into the group makes the decision. So it's a way, again, to promote them thinking and making plans and making decisions about how to, who should get the loan, how much it should be, and how it needs to be paid back. So someone who's requesting a loan has to have a plan on how they're going to pay it back. So the identified concerns are unstable housing, the history of and the ongoing vulnerability for sexual assault, and illiteracy. That is a huge problem, as was demonstrated through the interviews. So the future plans are that the literacy program will help impact their employability, that it can improve their housing, it can improve their self-esteem. And then the other resource which has become available is a music therapy program, which will become part of the weekly group. And again, that will help promote self-expression. It will improve self-esteem. And this is a photograph of most of the young mothers, as well as on your right in the forefront is Henriette with the green top. And then in the just to the two to the, I guess to her right, is Leticia, who's currently running the group. So you can see that our counselors are very young as well. And what I wanted to read in closing, I have a quote from Leticia about what the young mothers say about the group. She asked them, and this is what they asked, that I communicate with you. The group is like new family for me, because when we come with our problems and we share our stories, we feel good. And it it's a good thing to come and meet with others. One of the young women said, I never knew my family. I was an orphan. I grew up in an orphanage. So now I have a family. I've never seen my real mother, but I consider this group my real family. They support me when I have a problem. They even help me learn how to handle my financial problems. And they've all, again, the other thing that they wanted us to communicate is that they really are thankful for everything that we're doing. But as you can see from the beginning of this presentation, it's really about the Rwandan staff who are identifying and responding to the needs of the client population that comes to the clinic, and in particular to the youth. Okay?